Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like to bring a message to you this morning from Mark chapter 9. And I would like for us to look into what our Lord has to say here in verse 1. He said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Our Lord said, there are some here who will not die till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now, when our Lord says, verily, our Lord is the one speaking this, and He said to them, verily, that means of a truth. He is the God who cannot lie. Everything He says is absolute truth, but He emphasizes that by saying, verily. That means, listen to this, because this is the truth. This right here is the truth. He said, verily, I say unto you, this is God speaking. This is God speaking. He said, verily, I say unto you that there be some. He didn't say all, did he? He didn't say all of you will not see death until you've seen the kingdom of God come. He didn't say every person standing here will not see death till he sees the kingdom of God come. He said, some. Some. There be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now, there are not people walking on the earth today who were on the earth when our Lord was here. When He said that they shall not taste of death till they've seen the kingdom of God come with power, He was not saying some of the people here will never physically die. He was not saying that. Our Lord left this earth around 33 A.D. And in 70 A.D., Jerusalem was destroyed. All of their religion, their idol worship, their profaning and making merchandise out of God's temple, it was all destroyed. The temple did not have one stone left standing on another, just like our Lord said it would be. Many believe that that event is what our Lord was referring to right here. Something that happened 37 years, roughly, after He said this. The power of God destroying all of that idolatry. And that could be. But there is a truth in what our Lord said that applies to every single child of God. Then and right now. He said, they shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now, let me show you something that nobody realizes until God reveals it to them. The flesh naturally does not realize this until God's Holy Spirit reveals it to a man or a woman. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel 3, verse 1 says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." This child Samuel, he was lent to the Lord, the scripture says. It was a vow that his mother made, that if God would give her a child, she would return him to the service of the Lord. And God did give a child, and she did lend him to the service of the Lord. He physically lived in the temple. He grew up there. He gave his time and he gave his service there. And he saw the altar. He saw the sacrifices. He was completely immersed in what people call church. They refer to this thing of the house of God and the worship of God as church. And this young boy, Samuel, was completely immersed in it. He lived there. He grew up there. He knew the order. He knew the ritual. He was a servant to Eli. But look at verse 7. It says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." Isn't that interesting? He did not know the Lord. He knew all of these things, but he did not know the Lord. He did not see God. He did not hear from God. Verse 7 says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." He had no idea what God had said. He knew nothing of the mind of God and the will of God and the purpose of God. And that's the case for every soul who is in nothing more than just what they call church. Until God speaks, and until God reveals His Word and reveals Himself through His Word, men and women really have no idea what it's all about. No idea. What is this thing of worship? Again, what men and women refer to as church. What is it all about? What is it all about? Most people believe it's important. They do, whether they go or not. Even if it's not important enough for them to go, somewhere in the back of their mind, they still believe it's important. But they honestly have no idea why. No idea. Let me ask you this. Does God need for me to love Him? Does God need me to love Him? Did you know that the answer is no? God doesn't need me to love Him. Does God need me to worship Him? No. Does God need for me to praise Him? No. No, He is in need of nothing. He's the absolute, all-sufficient, perfect and complete God. In need of nothing. But men and women believe that they're going to go to church because that's what they need to do and that's what God needs for them to do. And So they see their efforts. When they go, they're looking at their efforts. They see the pageants. They see the parades. They see the plays. They see the concerts. They see the singing. They see the preaching. But they don't see God. Not naturally. Men and women do not and cannot naturally see God. Men and women do not naturally know God. They can't. They have not yet seen the kingdom of God come with power. If a man or a woman is in religion, in a religious building, conducting what they believe is worship, but all they see is the effort they're putting into it and the good moral standing that they have with the people there in the community, and they believe that's creating a good moral standing with God. And if they see efforts, if that's all they see are efforts, then they haven't yet seen the kingdom of God come with power. If a sinner against God Almighty ever sees God come with power, he will absolutely throw away. He will repent of, he'll hate all of his efforts, all of his pageants, all of his parades, all of his plays, all of his concerts, all of his religious show. He'll hate it. All of his religious show. And he'll say what Samuel said in the middle of verse 9. He said, "Speak, Lord Jehovah, God Almighty, speak to me, for thy servant heareth." Thy servant heareth. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew 11, verse 27 says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father." This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And he said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." No person on this earth naturally knows God. We're not born into this world with a natural knowledge of God. Most of the world believes they do know God, but they don't. And if we don't know God, then there's no salvation for us. Our Lord said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Now here is the promise from our God to us. Back over in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, "He said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." What he's saying is, I'm going to give some the eyes of faith, saving faith. I'm going to open their eyes that they might, by the faith of Christ, see. This is a promise he makes to every child of his, every single child of his. There is not one elect saint of God that will taste of death until he has, with the eyes of faith, seen the kingdom of God come with power. That one verse of Scripture reminded me of a precious story that perfectly illustrates this. Look with me at Luke chapter 2. Over here in Luke 2, this is a beautiful story of a man named Simeon. And he represents every sinner chosen by God to believe. Luke chapter 2, verse 21 says, "When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child." Now this is our Lord Jesus Christ who caused himself to become 8 days old. The Eternal One made himself to be born of a virgin, and he caused himself to become 8 days old physically. And he perfectly fulfilled every law that was written in the Word of God. The whole time he was on this earth, he was completely fulfilling the law of God. That it might be said of him, he fulfilled all righteousness. He satisfied every demand. And he did that so he could give that perfect satisfaction away. He fulfilled all righteousness so he could give that righteousness away. Verse 21 says, "When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." If you look back at Luke chapter 1, verse 30 says, "The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." What does all that mean? It means God is with us. God is with us. And back in chapter 2, verse 22 says, "When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." This one who was born was not just called holy. He was holy. He was. Back in chapter 1, verse 35 says, "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." This is the one who sits on the throne while the seraphims cry without ceasing, "Holy, holy, holy, holy." This is the Holy God. And back in chapter 2, verse 22 says, "When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." There was a man that God, the Holy Ghost, chose to be upon. And that man was placed by God in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, that name means double peace. He was chosen by God to receive double for all his sins. Double goodness. Double mercy. And this man's name was Simeon. And his name means hearkening. This man had been given ears to hear. And it says the same man was just. That means innocent, faultless, guiltless in God's eyes. Now, was this man Simeon, was he that way in the flesh? Was he naturally that way? Absolutely not. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Simeon was no better than any other man. But verse 26 says, it was revealed unto him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Christ. What think ye of Christ? Who do you say the Son of Man is? This world sees a man who they call Jesus. They call him Jesus. They're happy to know this man Jesus and see this man Jesus. God's people. Once God's Holy Ghost comes to the child of God and reveals the truth to that child, they see the Christ. They see the Christ. It was revealed unto him that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Redeemer. The Lord's Christ. God revealed to him that he would not die before he saw the one who would die for him. What is this thing that people call church all about? What is true worship all about? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about the Savior of sinners. It's all about the one who took my place. That's what the child of God says. I'm worshiping the one who took my place. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer. How do you know that, Job? Have you ever seen him? Yes. How, Job? He's not going to come for thousands of years. This man, the Christ, is not going to be born of a virgin for a couple of thousand more years, Job. How have you seen him? Job said, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see the very God that I right now see with the eyes of faith. He said, I know in the latter day he is going to stand on this earth. The God of Scripture, Jehovah, the Lord our righteousness, Job said, he is my Redeemer. I see him with eyes of faith. I see him in his word. God has revealed himself to me. Verse 26, it says that it was revealed unto this man Simeon by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Simeon saw salvation. Simeon saw the kingdom of God come with power. Salvation is not a thing that must be done. Salvation is a person who has already done it. That's the truth. Salvation is not a thing that must be done. What must I do to be saved? Salvation is not a do. Salvation is a person who has already done. Simeon did not see baby Jesus. Simeon saw God Almighty. He did not see the one who would make salvation possible. Simeon saw the Lamb slain, God's salvation, and he said, "Now I can die in peace." That's what he said. "Now I can die in peace." Verse 29, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." What Job saw with the eyes of faith, Simeon saw in reality. And that will be the case for every single child of God. That's going to be the case for every single child of God. If God the Father chose that child, and if God the Son died for the sin of that child, then God's Holy Spirit will bring the eyes of faith to that child and cause him to see his salvation. He won't see morality. That's what the natural eye sees in going to church, in religion. They see morality. This is a good thing to do. This is an upstanding citizen thing to do. Morality. And the true child of God won't see ritual. "Well, we do this because we've always done this and we're always going to do this. We're going to be faithful to our traditions, faithful to our habits, faithful to our rituals." No. The true child of God won't go just looking at doctrine. God's children see Christ. They see Christ. They see the only Savior of sinners. They don't worship looking to themselves. They don't worship looking to their decisions. They see the kingdom of God come with power. They see Christ. God come down. They see the Savior, and they see His finished salvation. They see the salvation He accomplished for His people. I want to see that, don't you? I want to see the kingdom of God come with power. Lord, please open our eyes that we may see. Open our eyes today. Open our eyes and cause us to see Christ before we leave this world. Until next Sunday morning, may our Lord bless this word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free, and sovereign grace